Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to the deep dive, where we tear down what you think you know about national identity. Today, we're diving into Theodore Zeldin's game-changing book, The French.
A really remarkable book.
Absolutely. And this isn't just a book about France, is it? It's more like a blueprint for understanding any culture, maybe even our own, far beyond the usual cliches.
Exactly.
So our mission today, to dismantle those, well, comfortable stereotypes and explore the incredible complexity of what it truly means to be French.
Which Zeldin argues, and this is key, is really a mirror to universal human experience.
Right. You know, we all have those ready-made ideas, don't we? Beret baguettes.
Oh, yeah, the revolutionary spirit.
Intellectual prowess, that sort of thing. But what if those ideas are, well, completely off the mark?
Well, what's truly fascinating here is that Zeldin isn't just debunking myths, though he does that brilliantly.
Yeah.
He's actually proposing a whole new way to see a culture, to really get past the surface.
Pushing past the superficial.
Right into the private thoughts, the daily realities of individual people. His central thesis is that French identity is fundamentally misunderstood.
Not just by outsiders.
No, often by the French themselves. He sees France as this complex laboratory, you could say.
A laboratory for what?
For human attitudes, for contradictions. And what comes out of this lab, he suggests, mirrors universal human stuff, not just uniquely French traits.
So he's asking, who are the French, really, beyond all the noise?
Precisely. Beyond the myths and stereotypes, that's the core question.
Okay, before we dive deeper into those insights, who exactly was Theodore Zeldin? What gave him the credentials, the perspective to tackle this?
Yeah, good question. Zeldin was a pretty distinguished British historian, a social philosopher, too. He was a longtime fellow at St. Anthony's College, Oxford.
Okay, academic chops.
Definitely. His specialty was modern French history. But what makes him really distinctive is his method, his approach.
How so?
Well, he spent decades, literally decades, truly immersing himself in French culture. We're talking hundreds of expensive personal interviews.
Wow, hundreds.
Yeah. He sort of pioneered something people call a history of sentiments, or maybe history from the bottom up.
History from the bottom up. I like that.
It's about bridging that rigorous academic training with almost anthropological curiosity, you know, about individual human experience.
So he wasn't just in dusty archives.
Not at all. He spoke fluent French. He lived among the people. He gained access to perspectives that are usually hidden, especially from outsiders. He fundamentally believed that history and sociology, too, you have to understand them through individual human stories, through lived experience, not just, you know, abstract stats.
Well, that's a powerful shift. But focusing so much on individuals, does he risk losing the bigger picture? The systemic forces.
Yeah.
Or does he weave it back in?
Oh, he absolutely weaves it back in. Because those individual stories are the evidence for his broader argument, you see.
Okay, got it.
And building on that, the really profound implication of Zeldin's work is how it just fundamentally challenges the whole concept of fixed national characteristics.
Like, there's no single French way of being.
Exactly. He famously said, the French are not what they seem, nor what they think they are, nor what others imagine them to be. That sums it up.
Quite a statement.
Isn't it? The core purpose of his book is really to demolish those comfortable myths, you know, French exceptionalism and all that, and instead reveal the deep psychological, the social complexities of real contemporary French life. He basically says our problem is superficial understanding.
And his solution.
Dive deep into the private thoughts, the fears, the hopes, the daily grind of ordinary French people.
So it really highlights this myth of national character.
Spot on. He shows us that those apparent French traits, often they just reflect universal human responses to things.
Interesting.
In fact, he argues French diversity within France often exceeds the differences between French people and, say, Germans or Brits.
So there's no single easily definable average Frenchman.
Not even close. Forget the stereotype.
Okay, so if we're moving beyond those stereotypes, what's one of the first things Zeldin reveals about, you know, the actual daily lives?
Yeah.
I'm curious about how they talk. He gets into conversation, right?
Oh, immediately. And it's fascinating. He dives right into French conversation. And it's not just, you know, polite chit-chat. No. Zeldin describes it more like a performance or even intellectual combat. It's a vital way people establish their place.
Performance.
Yeah.
Combat. Wow.
Yeah. They value formality, wit, a love of abstraction. It's quite something.
So it's not just catching up. It's like a full-blown intellectual joust.
Yeah.
I can almost picture A Parisian cafe, sparks flying. Is it really that intense?
Well, maybe not always sparks, but the underlying dynamic is there. He actually quotes something like, "Conversation in France is not merely a tool for exchanging information. It is a form of theater, a jousting match, and a proof of one's existence."
Proof of one's existence. Heavy stuff.
It is. The quality of your ideas and the eloquence with which you express them is a measure of your worth. That's the idea.
Okay. And how does this connect to his bigger themes?
Directly, it connects to his theme of the individual behind the social mask.
Ah, the gap between public and private.
Exactly. He shows the significant gap between public personas and private realities. Social expectations often kind of force people to wear certain masks, put on certain facades.
And Zeldin paints these portraits vividly, doesn't he? Like, he might introduce us to a frustrated intellectual.
Yeah, that's a great example. Someone publicly burdened by this expectation of brilliance, maybe?
Right, but privately, they're wrestling with deep insecurity.
Precisely. It's that internal tension he captures so well.
Okay, so that's the public intellectual side. What about the intimate side? Love, family. Does he tackle our romantic notions about the French?
Oh, absolutely. And he gives us a surprisingly candid look that really upends those notions.
How so?
Well, he meticulously deconstructs the stereotypes about French romantic culture. He reveals how practical considerations, psychological pressures, social expectations often shape relationships much more than pure unadulterated passion.
Practical things. Like what?
Well, property, family lines, social standing. He also discusses changing gender roles, divorce patterns, evolving ideas about commitment. It's not all moonlight and roses.
So it's a paradox then. The public culture celebrates passion,
Right, grand amour.
but the private reality is often more grounded. Family, property, status.
Exactly. And he ties it to another key theme, the fear of solitude.
Fear of solitude.
Yeah, a deep-seated fear of social isolation, which is interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because it exists alongside that famous French individualism.
Individualism versus fear being alone.
It leads to these complex social networks, but people still fiercely guard their privacy. He uses these incredible evolving family case studies in the book.
Case studies.
Yeah, showing how generational relationships are changing, how social shifts impact even the most intimate bonds. Really powerful stuff.
Okay, shifting gears a bit. From the intimate to the everyday grind, how does Zeldin show the French navigating their jobs, their money, and that ever-present French state?
Right. Well, work, he shows, is both the source of identity and profound frustration, that famous French work-life balance we hear about.
Yeah.
It isn't just a nice perk. It actually reflects deeper cultural values about human dignity, about life having a purpose beyond just labor.
Interesting. And money.
Ah, money. He describes an almost secretive attitude towards it. There's this traditional, maybe Catholic influenced suspicion of overt wealth.
So it's considered vulgar.
Yeah, vulgar to discuss one's salary openly, he notes. It's just not done in the same way as maybe in other cultures.
Okay. And the state. You
Yeah.
can't talk France without talking about the state.
You really can't. Zeldin highlights its powerful, centralized, and often quite paternalistic role.
That famous paradox again. The nation of rebellious individualists who seem to need the state.
It's totally that. Almost like that family dynamic, isn't it? You complain about the parent, but you run straight back when you need help.
Huh.
Zeldin nails it. He says something like, "The French state is like a demanding and overprotective parent. The
Obviously.
people resent its interference in every aspect of their lives, yet they run to it for protection and security at the first sign of trouble."
Wow.
And then the punchline, "They are a nation of rebellious individualists who cannot imagine life without the state."
That captures it perfectly. And this highlights another theme.
Yes, the anxiety of modernization,
Yeah.
how rapid social economic changes create this deep psychological stress. It constantly challenges those traditional sources of identity, of security.
And he shows this through people.
Yeah, he might detail the high-ranking civil servant, the fonctionnaire, who embodies the state's power and logic, and then contrast them with, say, a conflicted professional, someone struggling between ambition and personal fulfillment in this changing world.
Right, zooming out a bit now,
Yeah.
Zeldin makes it clear France isn't just Paris,
Yeah.
right? There's this whole internal geography and this deep connection to history.
Absolutely crucial. He explores the concept of gut taste.
Taste, like in food and wine.
Well, yes, but much broader. For Zeldin, gut is a form of cultural capital. It's a profound social marker.
How so?
It's how you signal your status, your background, your aspirations, not just through wine, but through aesthetics, books, lifestyle choices. It's like a silent language of identity.
Okay, and the Paris versus the rest thing.
Huge. He details the massive divide between Paris, the center of power, modernity, everything centralized, and what's called La France profonde.
Deep France.
Deep France, representing tradition, regional identity, a slower pace. He actually states, one of the most significant divisions in France is not between left and right, but between Paris and the rest.
That's fundamental then.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And that brings us straight to the living past theme.
History isn't just history books for the French.
Not at all. It's alive. It's breathing. It shapes contemporary debates, national identity constantly. Whether it's the Revolution, Napoleon, World War II, it's all still relevant somehow.
Still being argued about in cafes.
Probably. Zeldin puts it brilliantly. The French Revolution continues every day in the private thoughts of ordinary people questioning authority, tradition, and their own desires.
Wow. And we see this through regional voices.
Yeah, he gives voice to people from Brittany, Burgundy, Provence, and maybe the small town mayor. They illustrate how geography, local culture, create these vastly different versions of French identity, but all steeped in this active sense of history.
Okay, and how do they see the world outside France? Zeldin gets into that too. Their anxieties.
He does. And again, it's full of contradiction, isn't it?
Like the universalist ideal versus nationalism.
Exactly. That beacon of liberty idea clashes with a strong current of nationalism, sometimes suspicion, especially around immigration historically.
And anxieties about the future.
Oh, yes. Big ones. Things like coca colonization, that fear of American cultural dominance.
Right.
Loss of sovereignty, perhaps, to the EU. The pressures of globalization. These are real anxieties.
And how does Zeldin frame this?
He has this incredibly poignant line. Every French person is an immigrant in their own country, constantly having to adapt to changes they never voted for.
That really hits home. Constant adaptation.
Doesn't it? And it highlights the quest for authenticity, this ongoing tension between what society expects and what individuals desire, especially in a world changing so fast.
It feels like a universal struggle, really.
It is. But maybe in France, it's just articulated with this unique intensity, this particular historical weight.
All right, let's try and distill all these powerful insights for you, the listener. What are Zeldin's most important takeaways? The nuggets we can carry forward.
Okay, three main things, I think. First, and maybe most fundamental, the abolition of the average Frenchman.
Getting rid of that stereotype entirely.
Completely. Zeldin shows there are as many ways of being French as there are French people, and crucially, this applies to any group.
Any nationality, any community.
Any label. So the immediate application is cross-cultural understanding. It teaches you to look beyond the easy stereotypes when you travel, do business internationally, or just meet people from different backgrounds. Examine individual experiences.
Okay, that's number one. No average person. What's second?
Second is the centrality of contradiction. Understanding that these inherent contradictions aren't flaws in the culture, they're the very engine of it.
Like the individualist anarchists needing the state.
Exactly. That dynamic tension, that push and pull, it actually produces immense creativity and resilience. And the application, personal self-awareness.
Oh, so?
It prompts you to look at your own patterns, your own social performances. How do cultural expectations shape your behavior, your own contradictions? It's quite revealing.
Fair enough. And the third major takeaway.
Zeldin really champions a new method for understanding a nation or any group, this history of sentiments.
Prioritizing individual stories, conversations, empathy.
Yes. Over abstract stats, over rhetoric, over judgment. And this translates directly into improving workplace dynamics and relationship understanding.
How does it help at work?
Well, his insights into attitudes towards authority, recognition, professional identity, they're gold dust for managing diverse teams or navigating hierarchical places.
And in relationships.
Understanding how cultural expectations affect intimacy, that gives you deeper empathy. Whether it's a cross-cultural relationship or just understanding different viewpoints in your own life, it's about seeing the person behind the cultural script.
So Zeldin really gives us a toolkit for understanding not just facts about France.
Absolutely. A way of looking.
Which, thinking about it, raises an important question, doesn't it? If the French, as Zeldin suggests, are just expressing universal human dilemmas in a particularly articulate way, what other cherished national characters or maybe group identities in your own life might be ripe for this kind of Zeldin-style deep dive, where you look past the surface to the individual stories underneath?
That's the provocative thought, isn't it? Zeldin's work is ultimately this powerful argument for qualitative humanistic inquiry. It trains us to challenge our own prejudices about any group of people.
And maybe, ultimately, about ourselves, too.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Theodore Zeldin's remarkable book, The French. The core insight, really, is that genuine understanding of any culture means moving beyond those comfortable stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. Getting into the messy reality.
Exactly. Examining the complex psychological and social realities that shape individual experience. It cultivates, I think, both humility and empathy.
A journey worth taking.
Definitely. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.